Good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the show the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, who has for a long time now been stopping by on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about food and about cooking. And he picks a topic. We don't, and so we sort of concentrate on that, and we dance around it, and we talk about it. There's no rule that says we have to stick to that topic, but generally we are on that topic. And then we talk about cooking. We exchange recipes sometimes and cooking tips and stories. And not only is he interested in food and cooking, but he's also interested in the stories that go along with it and some of the traditions that get attached to food. So this time around, he said, well, let's spend some time talking about fish, both, I guess, because it's Lent, so that would be appropriate, but also because I think he was at least in our part of the country, because it's a long way from the water, it's an underutilized ingredient. We don't have a big fish tradition in the Midwest because historically we really haven't had the fish, I suppose, you know. Any fresh water fish you could get,
yeah.
Catfish, things like that, but not a big. The Midwest has not big been big seafood country, although now it is, now that it's possible, an awful lot of places to get good fish, sometimes frozen, sometimes fresh. It's now actually possible to get the fish to do things with, and I'm sure more and more people are doing it, particularly because we're told that it would be a good thing if we had more fish in our diet.
Three times a week. Mm.
So that's what we're doing here this morning. And if you have a recipe, maybe you'd like to share it with us. That's great. Any and other things that you want to do, questions, you would just want to call in and say hello, whatever you want to do, that's fine. 333-9455. Toll free 800-222-9455. It's good to have you here. Once
yes,
again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Something in particular that got you thinking about fish?
Well, one was, what are we going to talk about?
Okay, well, that's good.
And so everyone expects me to have a repertory that I just go to a page and say, oh yes, this week we'll do this. But I don't. It has to be something that you're absolutely right. It has to appeal to me and sort of come to me in a revelation, and. As you know, one of the times when I was not here, I was busy in England, and I was trying out all kinds of savory pies. And on the last day, I had a fish pie, and I thought, a fish pie? It just doesn't sound right. There's something. Well, as we were speaking, I don't come from a tradition of, oh yes, here are the 755 ways you have fish, and you have it, and you have it three times a week, and that just was not done. I do remember as a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old going out and fishing. No, I didn't fish, but my father and brother and probably an aunt and uncle did, and we would end up with small pan fish that they would fillet. And I remember seeing this 2-gallon jar full of fish parts. And we must have eaten them because we took it home. But I don't even recall the eating of the fish as something, oh boy, this is special or this is unusual. It was, oh, there's some fish, Mother fried them and we ate them, and I know that we didn't know about putting lemon on it, and I know that there was no tartar sauce. Those words did not exist in my home, so it was just a matter of, well, here's some fish, and then sometimes, then as I remember, probably up until I was about 8 years old, sometimes someone would bring fish to the house. And I'd look out in the backyard, and here's the wash tub full of water with about 4 fish in it. And so I have no idea who the persons were, but they brought these. They would bring these live fish. So it'd be another way that we would get fish. You never went to the market. Well, there wasn't a fish market. There was no way of doing it. So it was whatever you're able to scrounge up in the local streams and whatever, and then buying fish. well, we just never did it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious as to how have we survived? Because I do enjoy fish very much. I like it a lot. So. Yeah.
Well, we have Carla here
Good,
to
let's talk
with. Somebody on cell phone, so we will not make them wait. We'll go right there. Line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm calling. I hate to have the discussion so early, although this would be a great side dish for fish. I have a food emergency. I haven't been able to find something that I got addicted to about a month ago,
yes.
And it's pretty rare.
What is it?
It's they're plantains, Mexican bananas.
Yes.
They're extremely good. It's like a potato if you slice it up and fry it.
It's like a green banana, yes.
Yes. So I need people to call in and say who's selling them. People should try them because they're fantastic.
And, I'm trying to think where I have seen them. There might be some at Amco, and it seems to me at one time I found them at Schnucks.
I've tried both of those places.
Oh, dear. Maybe it's the wrong time of the year. Well, I mean, I don't know what time of the year that is, but plantains are very special, and there is a special way of how did you have them cooked?
Well, sliced into like chips and
yes.
then sprayed. I'm trying to watch the fat intake, so I just you sprayed with Pam.
Yes,
and just sautéed them and then sprinkled with salt and a little lime juice. Outstanding.
It seems to me that there is another step that goes into that. You cut them probably a little bit thicker so that they're probably a half inch thick, and you fry them once, and then you take them and smash them down with a pancake turner or something like that, and then they flatten out, and then they cook again. You flatten out that you've sort of cooked up, and they become somewhere around 3 inches, 2 inches across. And
if I ever find them again, I'm going to try that.
Well, it is, and I'm not exactly certain what they are called, but it is a Caribbean style of cooking the plantain. And there's a special name for it, and everyone seems to jump up and down about it.
I'm just reaching the office here, so I have to go. But
yes.
Okay.
Get
well,
that out there.
Thanks for the call. Very good. Well, okay. There's the challenge, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a good thought.
If you live in and around Champaign-Urbana, you know where you can buy plantains. Give us a call. That's one of those things that maybe, you know, depending on where you live, that's going to be in the market. But here
have cooked plantains in Champaign,
okay.
So I have gotten them at odd times and out of curiosity because they are a bit, but they have let me think what it is they have either more starch or I think more starch than the banana. Now, the banana is very, very starchy.
Mm-hmm.
And a plantain is ripe when it's still solid. But a banana, you know, is not ripe. And a lot of people argue with me because I'm always eating bananas that they wouldn't touch because they're yellow and black, but they want green ones.
All right. Harriet Williamson, our producer, she's listening at her desk. And now I have a message from her that says that she has indeed found plantains at Schnucks, at Jerry's IGA, and also at County Market. So it could be, as you say, that maybe just at certain, they have them sometimes, but not other times, and you just have to go, and then if you see them, then buy them.
They will be in smaller amounts and to the right of the bananas.
And someone else has called in and said, yes, at Walmart in Savoy, you can find plantains.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, now we've got some other callers. Maybe they're going to. So, now, see, this is what happens.
I love it.
Somebody calls in and says something, and then it gets us off into down interesting side streets. So, well, let's go and talk with some other callers here. Let's have Urbana, line one.
Apparently, everybody else has been saying the same thing. They are bananas. They are seasonal.
They are seasonal, okay.
And you can't always find them, but all of the regular supermarkets, County Market, IGA, Schnucks, I don't know about Walmart. I don't buy groceries there, but they all have them on occasion, and when you see them, you buy them, and if they're green as grass, you wait and ripen them a bit, and they're very good, and having just come back from South America, I'm...
Oh, you would have lots of ability to...
Hoping that I'll be able to get some more here.
Well, then you're primed and ready for them, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been very fond of them ever since I first encountered them in Costa Rica. So.
Yes. Well, that's good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Well, then again, there's the answer, I guess, is you just have to, they're there and then they're not. So you just have to be keeping an eye
yeah.
out. I don't know when plantain season is, or maybe it's just from time to time that they're available. All right. Well, let's go talk with someone in Champaign. Line two. Hello.
Hi. If I could just add to your plantain. There's actually at least two ways to cook them. One, as you say, when they're still hard, and they come out as you say, you fry them. But there's also, you can wait till they're extremely ripe, in fact, what seems overripe, and then fry them. And then they come out slightly crispy on the outside, but very soft and sweet on the inside.
I believe that's the purpose of that recipe I was thinking of, because it is crusty and crisp on the outside, but then they're mushy, yes, inside.
Yes.
Those are ripe.
Yes,
okay.
You wait till they're very, very ripe, and then cut them up and fry them. I don't have any, I think it's fairly simple how you do it, but I don't have any recipe.
I remember they were twice fried. You fried them once, and then you took them out, and then you smashed them down and fried them again.
But
it was very complex.
But as I said, there's two different styles, so you could also do them when they're still quite hard.
Ah.
They come out differently.
Uh-huh.
You prepare them differently. They're much thinner, and what you're getting is you never get them then the soft, sweet results, but you get a much crispier and different tasting and used in different dishes along with beans, rice, etc.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a little side dish, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
Thank
Great.
You.
Well,
You're
all right. Thank you very much. Well, you see, we started out here saying we're going to talk about fish. And
well,
then,
at least what we're talking about is long and narrow.
Okay, Dr. Freud.
It's fish shaped.
All right. Well, whatever you want to do, this is our monthly program on cooking. Doyle Morris here. He's the man we like to call our chef in residence once a month. First Wednesday, he shows up in here. We talk about food, and he always picks some topic, and we have a good time talking about that and sometimes other things too. And he said this time around, he said, well, let's talk about fish just because it's a good thing. And also, though, for us in the Midwest, you know, maybe we don't do an awful lot of cooking of fish because historically we haven't had that much access to it. But, of course, now a lot of places you're going to the grocery store now and they have fish. And we have at least one I know of, good fish market, that's they're dedicated to selling that product. And you can certainly buy a lot of things frozen and now a good variety of things you can actually buy. Fresh, good, really good product, and you can do. But then I'm sure a lot of people say, "Well, okay, now what do I now that I can buy it? What do I do with it?"
Well, that's about it. Yes.
Yeah. So 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Just before we got going, I was just saying, you know, I like fish, and if I'm going out, I'm to a restaurant. I particularly that's something that I look for the opportunity to have because I actually don't do that much
mm-hmm.
at home.
So we give the responsibility to the restaurant and the cook. Do me a fish, just wonderful, and you expect it, and you generally get it.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely it. You don't know exactly what you're buying, but you're going to buy it because that's what you want, and you don't have it. So
yeah,
we sort of give that over to them.
See that at our house, probably the way that we do it most, and so now we're not doing it in winter, is the charcoal grill.
Oh.
Grill outside.
Oh, yeah.
Either salmon or probably that's salmon we have fairly often, and there was a while when I was doing trout that way. You could get good fresh trout.
Yes.
Grill it, and that's also very good. Yes. And very simple. You really don't have to do a lot to it.
Not to a trout.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana. We do also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Maybe you have a fish recipe to share with us. But particularly, there's a local restaurant in town where I used to go quite often where they did a really nice pan-sautéed or pan-fried tilapia. And I always thought, I would like to do that, except I'm not exactly sure how to do that.
I think it's pretty direct.
Well, I think it probably is, and I guess I just have to try it and maybe be willing to try it and fail maybe once just to get the technique down.
Now, how interesting that you should talk about tilapia.
Yeah.
Little do you know that in the middle of southwestern Kansas, in Garden City, they have a tilapia farm, and it is the end of a cycle of an organic farming situation, where they raise the ensilage, and they feed the ensilage to the cattle, and then the leftover ensilage is turned into biofuel. Mm-hmm. The waste from the cattle is turned into fertilizer, and the warmness of separating of the ensilage causes warmth to happen. They heat water, and the water is put into huge tanks, and then the fish are sifted through those tanks. So they've got a constant use of all the materials, and tilapia was one, and they were selling their tilapia in New York, and they probably have sold it around here. But so it's a nice Garden City, Kansas fish.
I see. Well, the thing, I think that's tilapia to me is an interesting case of something that I know tilapia existed in the world, and yet for a long time I didn't know from tilapia. Well, and then suddenly it was there.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere, and it's a very versatile, you can do a lot of different things with it, and it's a mild fish, so people who don't like real strong taste.
Yes, exactly.
And you can pan saute and you can bake it and
right,
a lot of things.
I have just been told by a friend of mine that a goodly amount of tilapia frozen you can get at Aldi's. So if you take three out, four out, leave the rest of them frozen, and you aren't wasting a whole lot.
Yeah.
So that they're available as a frozen product. So I got to go find out.
Yeah. We have some callers now, some more callers. Let's talk with someone in Champaign, and this would be line number three. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. No recipes, but two comments. One, plantain you can usually find in the major grocery stores around Cinco de Mayo.
Ah, okay.
They have all those
those
types of products. And tilapia, you don't need to go to Kansas City. They do it in Decatur.
They do it in Decatur.
I forget if it's ADM or Staley, but I was on a teacher's field trip there, and they use their waste product from some of the grains.
Oh, yes.
And feed the tilapia, and they stimulate the female so that they go through an egg-laying cycle about every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very efficient operation.
It reuses products.
Right.
Oh, that's what this farm operation in Garden City was all about.
Yeah, I was most impressed because they were using their waste products.
Yes.
To make a new product.
Well, then we have local tilapia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Probably what you're finding at Aldi. I think it's 24 ounces for $3.99 in their last circular price.
Ah, okay. Good.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank
that
you.
That may well be a local availability for us.
All right. Let's go then to Gibson City, line two.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, well, this is not actually my recipe, and I'm just not sure exactly what went in it, but we were in Mexico with my in-laws, and and my husband and my father-in-law went fishing, and they caught fish, but there were only three small ones, not enough to feed five people. So he has done chef work in his lifetime, and so he actually came up with a fish stew, and he didn't have any, like, clam juice or anything. He used just basic fish and a fish corn chowder with onions
Ooh,
and garlic and
That'd stretch it out good, yes.
Yeah, salt and pepper. And I'm not sure if you put it in anything else, but you made a very basic stew, and it really turned out. So.
Oh, that's a treat. And yeah. and then probably just water and broth of vegetables?
I'm not sure.
There might have been.
Like I said, we each take our turns cooking, and I haven't cooked that night. But I know that he went down and got a can of corn to the little deli.
Oh, yes.
And... but it turned out really good, so I'm sure that, when you just, you catch fish, but you don't know what to do, don't have enough for a meal.
Exactly, yes.
To make a fish stew and, use your imagination or use your basic skills and, because it was a very basic stew, but it turned out really
good. Oh, well,
really
that's a very good idea, and that's a good thought, because I don't think that fish cooking has to be complicated.
No.
And you're right. Just a simple, basic fish stew. That would be good.
Yeah, and I was kind of leery. Was I going to like this? So, but I just, I just called and let you know what
yes.
happened in that situation.
Oh, I think that's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Goodbye now.
Well, yes, bye.
Let's go to Champagne, and this is line three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Another tilapia note. I actually used to work at ADM.
Oh, yeah.
When they first began the tilapia. I was there when they first began doing that. And what we were doing was using the tilapia to filter out some of the excess stuff that the plants were leaving in the water.
Oh, yes.
So, it's been a while since I worked there. The plants were being used as a filter to take out the fish waste.
Okay.
So, they were being grown on fish waste.
Oh, all right, yes.
And the heat was coming from the ethanol plant.
That's pretty much the way Garden City was doing it. I know that they didn't invent it, but it was some time ago that I saw it, and I was very pleased. I didn't know other folks were doing it. I really didn't.
Yeah, and I don't know, I haven't worked there for 10 years, but
uh-huh.
I really don't know what they're doing there now. But that was when they first started. I know that the tilapia has expanded quite a bit, and... they've changed crops and stuff there, but that's how it was being done.
Well, I like that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. We should be getting some money from the Tilapia Association for that.
Maybe they'll call and tell us something.
Okay. Now and more. We have also another caller said more places you can buy plantains. They say look at El Charro, Euromart. Masamigos, World Gourmet Foods.
Uh-huh.
So, and I would, I'm sure that any place that does have various kinds of Latin American cooking ingredients, and I'm sure that there is increasing demand for those sorts of things. You could try those places.
Isn't El Charro the one on Green Street?
Yes,
I think it is. Yes.
Jason says yes.
They have. A lot of vegetables I like to buy there. Yeah. So, yes, I might well have seen it there.
But it might, again, as an earlier caller said, there may be not every day.
Well,
maybe just,
Cinco de Mayo comes to be spring, doesn't it?
Yes.
Which seems like a reasonable time to look for products.
All right. Let's talk with someone else in Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I have a quick recipe for salmon and then a quick question.
Yes.
The recipe is for salmon in the pan, melting butter, dark brown sugar, vanilla, and just a touch of lemon juice.
Sugar and vanilla. Mm-hmm.
Dark brown sugar in the butter.
Uh-huh.
And then a little vanilla.
A little vanilla.
And a little lemon juice.
A lemon.
And then saute the salmon in that after... it's all liquefied, and it gives you the caramel sweet sauce on the salmon, and it's very good.
I'm interested in that particular aspect because I tried to explain to some people a long time ago that once when I visited Seattle that they barbecued the salmon by putting a half inch of brown sugar on it and putting it on the the grill outside, and no one wanted to believe me because they said, "You don't put brown sugar on salmon." Well, they do in Seattle.
Yeah, and you could do the brown sugar butter and a little barbecue sauce in that mix and get a different kind of offset, but it's wonderful.
That sounds good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
And then I have a quick question.
Yes.
What is your viewpoint on the lack of regulations for our fish industry?
I am confused by all of it. I don't know exactly what to make out because you hear 1 minute that, this is happening, and then that's corrected and something. I really don't know what it is, but I'm not, and then you start hearing about fish overfishing and how do we control that? I don't think anybody is trying. And
right.
So I am distressed at the fact that we're not being very good. What's the right word?
Stewards.
I want to use stewards. Thank you. That our stewardship of fish is going down the drain, and it bothers me because it bothers me. You know, it's something that rubs the wrong way. But I don't have any answers, and I don't have any conclusions. But
thank
I am
you.
Aware of it, and I'm not happy.
Well, thanks for the call. And this is something that we've actually talked about on occasion here on the program. And there certainly are, I think that there certainly are sustainability issues when it comes to fishing, ocean fishing, and that there are a number of environmental organizations that do have recommendations about if that concerns you, they would have lists of, say, these kinds of fish, we think that's okay. These other kinds of fish,
uh-huh.
We think we would suggest you not buy those because of the there being environmental pressure on those fish, because of the possibility that they could be overfished, because of the possibility that one day there could be no more of those.
No more of those, yeah.
For example, that not very long ago, I had a conversation with a guy who has written a book about what is now what we generally now call the Chilean sea bass, which is not a bass at all. Its real name was the Patagonian toothfish, it was a fish that there wasn't very much market for it. It's apparently, if you see it, it's just the most ugliest thing that you ever saw. And somebody who an American who was in the business of the wholesale fish business was down in that part of the world, and he saw this fish, and he said to somebody, "What's that?" And they said, "Well, that's the toothfish." And he started thinking, "Well, there might actually be a market for it because it's mild and because it's very forgiving of being overcooked or of being cooked and held."
Oh, uh-huh.
And so he started to bring this into the United States. Initially, there was some interest from people in the Asian restaurant business because it was similar to something that they were used to but couldn't get. So they started using it, but then eventually he turned on some professional cooks to it. It was thought to be particularly good for using for banquets. When you were making large numbers.
Because you
could hold it. And somewhere along the line, someone rechristened it because they thought, no one's going to really like the idea of having Patagonian toothfish. Someone came up with Chilean sea bass. And the problem is that now that fish, some people are concerned that fish has been fished virtually to the point of extinction.
Well, I'm thinking that isn't that the one that Paul Prudhomme did, the blackened fish? And now you just can't buy them.
That could be. Well, I think that for a while there was a big thing. It was redfish, blackened redfish.
Oh, blackened redfish. Okay, that's not the same thing.
When New Orleans style cooking started to become so popular, everybody wanted blackened redfish. And I think you're right that the redfish populations just were virtually
both of them went about
exhausted.
The same time. Yes.
So I think if that's something people are concerned about, there are. On the web, if you have access to the web, I'm sure that there are places you can find information if you want to have more fish, but you're concerned about the environmental impact of what you eat. That information's out there, and I think it's worth thinking about, at least when you're talking about ocean, wild-caught ocean fish. So there you go. Well, okay, let's talk to somebody in Bloomington, Illinois, line 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I know a place where you can buy the plantain chips that you ask, plantain chips and fried plantain.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's a World Gourmet Foods in Bloomington, Illinois.
In Bloomington.
Oh.
Okay, good.
They do have plantain chips, and they do have also fried plantain that come from Central America.
All
I
right.
I just wanted to know that. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
I think that someone did, yeah, someone else also suggested World Gourmet Foods in Bloomington. They are one of our underwriters. I have not been to their store, but somebody might, you know, if you're over there in that area, you can
pick
check
up a plantain for
yeah,
us.
Pick up a plantain. Otherwise, 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. Doyle Moore is here. May we like to call our chef in residence once a month. The first Wednesday, he's here at the 10 o'clock hour. We talk about cooking, and this time around, he said, well, let's talk about fish. And if you have a good recipe to share, you can certainly give us a call. Do you have the recipe for Jamie Oliver's fish pie?
I do indeed. I do indeed. There's somebody else that wants to talk right now.
Okay. Well, we're getting a call coming in. Why don't we talk about this a little bit?
It's because I had this fish pie, and I thought, well, I've never had a fish pie. It sounds awful because I don't want to eat. Well, since I don't have a history of eating all these things in this manner, this is kind of a peculiar recipe. It's really a very simple recipe, and I have it printed out here, and we'll have it available if you send in for it, because I don't want to go through all of the details. It's a very long on the page, but it uses potatoes and eggs and fresh spinach and a chopped onion and a chopped carrot and extra virgin olive oil and a cup of heavy cream. So you can see what you're going to do is you're going to use the carrot and the onion and the cream and then two handfuls of cheddar or Parmesan cheese. So you're going to make a cheese sauce, but with just the cream. You're not going to put any flour or anything in it. So you have a nice cheese sauce that does have a heaping teaspoon of English mustard, which is that Coleman's mustard, which is very, very hot but quite tasty, and then a handful of flat-leaf parsley. And then you only need a pound of fresh cod fillet or haddock. So all of those, that's really all that goes into it. You're going to have, you make the sauce with the cream and the carrot and the onions, and then you add the cheese to it, and then the mustard and the parsley, and then you put in you leave that alone, and then you make the you take the dish and you put in the fish at the bottom of the dish, and then pour this sauce over it, and then the potatoes that you were cooking, you mash those up and just sort of drop them in cobblestones on top of it. You don't make it pretty. And bake it in the oven. Let's see. Do we have for 25 minutes in a what? In what oven? 450 degrees,
that's
which is
hot.
Very hot. It'll be very hot, and they'll probably turn brown. But they're only in there for 25 minutes until the potatoes are golden, and then serve it with some peas or greens. It's very, very simple, and he says it's a bit tacky, but I really like it that way. And then when I was looking up on the internet about fish pies and such things, many people touted this recipe very highly. They said, this is an amazing recipe. So he even calls it fantastic fish pie. And I remember when he did it on television, it was just bam, bam, bam. Things were done right away. I saw it. I saw him do it and then found the recipe later. But we have this recipe available so you can call in and somebody will send it to you. That's okay. Why I don't want to get too detailed.
Good. Very good. And if you who are listening have a recipe you'd like to share, a good fish recipe, 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll free 800-222-9455. So how
but I also have another recipe.
Oh, yes.
I have another recipe which is very, very close to my heart, and everyone keeps saying, can't make that. It'll not work. Well, it does. Well, I have some by marriage, some Finnish folk that are a part of our family now. And when I was in Finland, the mother made for me a recipe that just is so easy and so simple. I can give it to you very quickly. Now, I of course changed what she had because I think we have some better supplies than they did at that. You can get a good frozen package of some nice vegetables that you like. I like the ones with whole peas and some other things in it. I don't like the tiny diced up all carrots and all onions and, you know, the little tiny ones. I like bigger ones. And you put that on the bottom of a 9x13 baking dish, and then I'm going to get the tilapia. This is where the tilapia comes in. And I'm going to lay those planks of tilapia on top of those vegetables. Then you take a cup of heavy cream and a quarter of a cup of ketchup. I know. And you mix those together and pour that over the fish and bake it. And everyone says, oh, won't that curdle? Won't that? No, you can't do that. I said, yes, you can. You do that, and that's it. And salt and pepper to your own taste. It doesn't really need it, but it is amazing that you can sit and cook that fish and those vegetables in cream and ketchup of all mixtures.
That must be a very strange color.
Well, it is.
Isn't it kind of pink?
It's a beautiful pink. Yeah, it's not strange. It's a beautiful light pink, and then the fish sort of gets as flaky as it was. I was stunned. Of course, my niece, the daughter, doesn't like it. She says, oh, mother is always making that. But I remember it being very, very special. And I've never run into that recipe anyplace else, but that's a nice Finnish recipe that's very, very, very quick. And I have made it a couple of times. That's where I invented the vegetable collection that is a little more interesting than just diced vegetables and let it go. Treat that. But it's tasty. I have no idea what the name of it is. I don't know if there is a name. But
is it? You suppose she just made that up, or that is actually?
That's what I don't know. I've never found the recipe. No one else has spoken to me about the recipe, except we did have a caller one day about five to eight years ago, who called and said, yes, I just came from Finland. I had that.
Really?
So I am sure that it is a localized thing. That is to say, that it doesn't travel very far.
Well, I don't think that tilapia are native to Finland.
Well, so no.
It must have been
used
some other fish.
She used squares of fish that were frozen, and I didn't like that. So I'm going to change it to the tilapia.
Better. I think that probably would be.
I think it'll
better.
Be. Yeah. I'm anxious to try that. I have cooked the other technique, and the thing is, it's really quite delicious. Mm-hmm. There's a certain sweetness. Well, to the cream and to the ketchup, and you don't have to do any herbs or spices or you know, nothing added, nothing messed around, no sauces to make. You just mix those two, pour it on. Good enough.
Okay, if you say so.
It's not Jimmy Oliver, but it sure is good.
And it's a lovely light pink.
And it's a lovely. A lovely light pink.
I don't know. I don't know about pink food.
Well,
I can't really think of that many pink foods.
Well, we won't worry about that.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus with the man we like.
How about some marshmallow peeps at Easter time? They're pink.
yes. I'm not sure that they're fit for eating. They always seem to me like it's something you ought to be using to scrub out your pots
with. Well, I agree with you, and it looks like it. It does look like it.
It does look like that. Other than that, okay. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455. So now how am I going to master this pan sautéing of tilapia? Now how would you approach this? What pan would you use? What would you use for fat source? What would you do?
Maybe somebody has an answer, because I know there's somebody out there listening that was going to call in about fried fish today, and I don't want to. If it isn't, I'll tell you what I know.
Okay. Well, let's talk with someone in Urbana then. Line one, right here. Hello.
Hi. I got a comment about the seafood problems.
Yes.
And then also a question. I have a thing from the Monterey Bay Aquarium and a similar one from the Audubon Society.
Mm.
And they list your best choices, your good alternatives, and things to avoid and on each of them. And they list a website, www.seafoodwatch.org.
Seafoodwatch.org.
Hmm. And one thing that I, among the things to avoid, well, they mentioned the Chilean sea bass and the bluefish tuna, or bluefin tuna.
Oh, bluefin, yeah.
Yeah. And red snapper and Atlantic soles and various Atlantic fish. In particular, with salmon, farmed salmon, including Atlantic salmon, is to be avoided. And I think that has to do with the farming practices, partly. I think they do a lot of feeding of ground-up fish meal and so forth to the farmed salmon, and of course that they just scoop up everything off the out of the ocean and grind it up for that. But the good salmon is your wild-caught salmon from Alaska. That's one of the best choices.
Oh, yes.
Of course, that's more expensive.
More expensive, yeah.
That's your, oh, what do you, I forget the name. The red salmon, at any rate. My question is, I have a salmon recipe that I like to use. I sort of a poached salmon. I just take a frying pan with high sides and fill it up with, nearly fill it with water and lemon juice and green onions and red green pepper thyme. I think I throw into it and just make a big marinade or
a corbillon. Yes,
poaching water, and I bring it to a boil and I let it simmer for maybe a half an hour or more to get it in there, and then I put in the salmon. I usually have frozen wild-caught salmon from Alaska and thaw it and put it in and then cook it. And that works out pretty well. But my question is, I have this great marinade afterwards. What do I do with that?
Oh, dear. well, it doesn't really have much of a use. That your poaching liquid, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. There really isn't much of a use for that, and I'm not it's not going to be it's going to extract some of the stuff from vegetables, but then the fish is going to add to it. But you don't there's no sauce that I would know that you would make with that, though I suppose you could cook that down, reduce it. You might want to put some white wine in it and then reduce it, and you might have a thinner sauce that you could use as a little garnish. But
I was thinking of maybe a soup or something.
Well, now you're right. You could do. Hey, this is what you use to make that fish stew that the lady called in earlier. That's exactly what you would use. You could do that. I would add some more body to that with either a vegetable broth or a light chicken broth to give it a little more body, because you're not going to have too much body by just poaching a fish for only a few moments, though you're going to have all the other stuff that would add to it.
Right.
So maybe you could, do save that. I was just trying to think of it as a sauce because there isn't a whole lot.
Yeah,
and so you're going to need to add some more things to it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Good, thanks.
Thank you. Let's go and talk with someone in Clark County next. Line 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Good morning. Quick question and probably a quick answer. I heard Doyle use the word a few minutes ago, herb. And I want to know, is it herb or is it herb?
That depends on who you are, where you are, and how you want to say it, honestly. the Roman pronunciation from which it came is with an H, herb. The English want to call it herb, which is dropping the H. And that just becomes a matter of practice. And we have argued about this in the Herb Society. And I sort of stick with H, herb. Because of herbaceous, except herbaceous is also, I don't think herbaceous is called herbaceous. No.
No,
it's herbaceous. And I just like that.
I'm half German and half English, so I guess I'll call it whatever I want.
The thing is, both pronunciations are acceptable and specific to areas of people, and you will continue to argue about that for the rest of your life, because that's what we can argue about, because everyone brings only what they know and do to it. And my family in Southwest Kansas calls it herb, and makes quite an effort at pronouncing it herb. And I say, well, it's H-E-R-B, and it's herbaceous. I'm going to call it herb. So I may have picked that up by just being stubborn. No other reason.
Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Thank you very much. It's herbal herb.
It's herbal herb.
I think of herb as being an English, that is, people in at that side of the Atlantic tend more to say herb. That's what I would expect, and that herb is more of an American kind of way of going at it. But I don't know. You're the only guy I run into that says herb, and then of course because I've been hanging around you now about half the time, I'm saying herb. It's herbal herb. So I'm confused.
It is confusing, and there is no standard. The standard comes from the fact that it's usage in two different or many other different parts of the world, and in whatever your influence is. The thing is, whether you pronounce it one way or the other, everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. So you may.
So the communication is clear.
Your choice. You may do whatever you like, Herb. Let's talk to someone in Mattoon. Line one. Hello.
Hi. I'm sorry I missed about half the show, but it seemed like you were looking for tips on sautéing fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. One that I've learned, and it's not original, but I've learned, is that take your fish out, your fillets or whatever you're going to sauté, put them on a rack, pat them dry with a paper towel, and then go ahead and salt them.
Uh-huh.
And what happens after about 5 minutes, the fish get this kind of sticky, slimy coat. The salt brings some of the fluid out of the
out,
fish.
Out, yes.
And it's pretty sticky, and then it's very easy to get your seasonings or whatever to apply to the fish. And one of the techniques that I found that works really well in trying to lighten up the way I cook but still do different things with food is to let the fish sit with the salt on them for about 5 minutes, put the rest of my seasonings in flour, and then dredge the fish in the flour, shake it off as much as possible.
Yes.
And then frying them in olive oil, especially hot. And even that little bit of flour that's just dusted on there
gets crusty.
Crusty, and it adds a wonderful texture and flavor. And usually I use it with tilapia. You've been talking about a lot of tilapia, but tilapia or orange roughy or the thinner fillets that cook so quick that the flour doesn't burn. But it will also hold on the spices better or the seasonings or whatever else that you're doing.
I think Emerald talked about that about 3 or 4 nights ago, and he was saying, first thing you do is salt them, but he didn't go on to an explanation.
Well, I actually learned this watching America's Test Kitchen on WILL TV.
Those
folks know what they're doing.
They know what they're
doing.
You
can learn good things from them.
Yeah, and so I've tried that, and it's really, really worked well. Another thing that I learned to do, and this came off of watching an Iron Chef episode, and I've done this a couple of times real successfully, is while the fish are sitting there with the salt on them, peel a potato and shred it, and then pack one side of the fish with the potato, really, pack it on there firmly, and then saute that with the potato side down first, and then when, that side's golden, turn it very carefully and just let the fish finish for a minute or so on the other side, and then you have potato-encrusted
fish. Potato-crusted fish. That sounds good.
Your protein and the starch.
Indeed.
Right there. And it really, really comes out well.
I like that.
So That's my contribution.
Thank you. Very that's good. Very, very
Thank
good.
You.
You're welcome.
And you see, I think that's all very new.
Uh-huh.
See, that's very recent.
Well, I know that sort of the traditional thing for frying would be to first dredge in seasoned flour, then put it in egg, and then go another step. Now, I don't know if there you could put breadcrumbs, you could flour it again.
Yeah.
Because this is what I've also seen Emerald do. or maybe I'm thinking also is that he does a thing with buttermilk.
Oh, yes, he does like buttermilk.
Yeah, to prep something for to be fried for a fish. So, well, I'm going to have to do some more research on this, I guess. And also, we're at the point, I'm sorry to say,
oh dear,
we're going to have to stop, and we have a couple of folks that we cannot take. My apologies. Next month, Doyle will come back, and we'll do something else. Don't know what. Divine inspiration will strike.
It'll be divine inspiration somewhere around the second of April.
And if you want to drop us a line here at the station, we can send you a copy of the recipe that Doyle mentioned, Jamie Oliver's
fantastic fish pie.
Fish pie, if you want to try that out. Thank you very much.
Well, yay, hooray!
All right.